Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Welcome back to Jeremy Shaw, who rejoins us in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Fully refuelled and ready to go for another 3 hours or thereabouts. This is a cracking battle at the sharp end of the field, Jeremy. Tinknell, Dixon, Montoya and Rossi. All right, a little bit further back. Kobayashi still in there as well. What a quintet of drivers to be leading this motor race.
Yeah, pretty cool, isn't it? And Harry Tinknell's doing some really nice, consistent laps at the front of the field here, holding off Scott Dixon, who looks like he might be a tad quicker, but he's not going to push his luck at this stage in the game. But they seem to be running, you know, obviously comparable lap times, because the number 01 car cannot find a way past number 55. So it's been a good battle between those two. Juan Pablo Montoya, that gap back to third position is remaining pretty much constant, 10 or 11 seconds, depending on the traffic. Behind them is Alexander Rossi, who's trying to make up for that penalty, but over the last eight laps, he's pulled in about a couple of seconds, perhaps at the most. And Kobayashi in the number 48 car, that car is really fast, isn't it? And it's off sequence with everybody else, kind of still. But the last couple of stops, it was 20 stops for 20 laps during the last stint. I don't think that included any yellow. Well, it might have done. So we're going to have to keep an eye on that 48 car as number 60 car comes into the pits from third place.
Sure, Adam is watching that for us.
Time for Olivier Clough to have a little bit more fun. Now, remember, they've adjusted the front ride height of this car since the last time Olivier's driven it. So it might take him, an extra corner or two to get a feel for the car as to how it was this morning when he last left it. Also into the pit lane, we had Sebastian Bourdais in and out for the number 5 Mustang Sampling Racing. The 83 Wynn Autosport, Nicholas Cruton was in and out once again. And two stops in GTD. We had the number 1 Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini, Madison Snow took back over that car. And the 14 Lexus, that's the one that was long delayed because of the brake issues during the caution. Aaron Tielitz is now once again installed behind the wheel of that.
Shea Adam with our VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock report. Just a reminder, on Tuesday afternoon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern, that is 5 in the UK, with a 4-hour time difference, it's Haggerty Inside Track. We have a stellar lineup of guests, which we'll confirm on the socials either later on today or tomorrow. But an hour in vision as we look back at the headline makers from this race. 1 o'clock Eastern, 5 in the UK Tuesday. So just when you start to jaunt a little bit for your racing fix, we will pop up with Haggerty Inside Track. Join me then. Looking forward to that. So at the front of the field in prototypes, the Mazda looking to do the double here and back-to-back victories should be in at the end of this lap, I think, for Harry Tinknell. This has been an all-green run for Tinknell and Dixon. So
two laps in to John.
Yeah.
For number 55 again, I think. Oh, maybe not. I don't know.
It'll be 20. It's 21 at the end of this one. So if they go through again, just over 7 hours to the checkered flag, and still have very decent track and weather conditions with the air and track temperature being pretty much the same for quite some time now, to be honest. Just a mid-70s Fahrenheit, 23 Celsius. It's around about 74 on the Fahrenheit scale. And here they come, both together into the pit lane. A bit later on the brakes for Scott Dixon than Harry Tinknell, if anything. And he peels into his pit stall first. Shit, Adam.
And that's Renger van de Zande again, walking casually over to the side of the car. Very relaxed, very comfortable. You know, no pressure. Just going out to race around Sebring International Raceway in the 12-hour to try and get your first ever win. And, oh yeah, you're going to come out of the pits battling for the lead because that's how this thing works. They are doing a windshield clean for new Michelin tires, as Renger said. They have no concerns about needing to double stint their tires. So the drinks bottle is in, the Renger is in, the tires are on, the Renger is away. Also into the pit lane, we had the Mazda. The Mazda's not yet moving, but the Mazda was a little bit further down the pit lane as a result of a better finish at Daytona. Transition lane now for the Mazda. Is it a nose ahead of the Cadillac? It is. So this is game on, Mazda versus Cadillac. Who's going to get heat in their tires first?
Yeah, very much closer, I would say, though. About two cars length closer. And of course, the car in front. Oh, round the outside. They're outside of the pit lane now, so that is allowed to race. And what a fantastic manoeuvre there for Renger van de Zande. Really caused Oliver Jarvis snapping as he came out and stayed right on the yellow line. They were off the pit lane speed limiter. All of that concrete out there is part of the racetrack, and you can race as soon as you're off the limiter, and that's exactly what Renger did. Fantastic, Jeremy Shaw. That was real confidence on cool tyres for Renger van de Zande.
Yeah, really impressive, because during that last stint, Scott Dixon had been hammering away at the back end, not literally, thankfully, a number 55 car with Harry Tinknell at the wheel. He wasn't able to find a way past. It seems to be pretty closely matched, although I would say the Cadillac looks like it might have a little bit of hand, a little bit of a slight pace advantage through this point in the race, at least. But it's not night time, and that's going to be the crucial time in this race, of course. But that move, I think, will be very, very important for that Cadillac Ganassi team to get in front of the Mazda. We'll see now whether Renger van de Zande is able to pull away.
Such heads-up driving from Renger. You've got to be on it from the moment, we've said this before, from the moment your thumb comes off the pit lane speed limit and the moment it goes back on again. We referenced Michael Schumacher and how he used to practice coming into the pit lane. Well, it's just as important to get out speedily as well. So Alex Rossi then assumed the lead, so another lead change for Jeremy to chronicle, and he comes into the pits next time around. Shit.
Fuel and tires for Alex Rossi, and let's wait and see if the refueling man has a little bit less issue getting the nozzle disattached this time, or unattached, I guess. Proper English is easy. Pulling the car off the air jack now, it very gently settles back down onto its wheels. Normally, that action tends to be a bit more aggressive. There we go. Nozzle comes out, car gets rolling. That was exactly the stop that they meant to do the last time around, too. Greg.
Sorry, say good, Shea?
Detached. Thank you, Tim Gray.
Yeah. Disattached, unattached. Hardly attached. You are adding words to the dictionary there. That's Damon's job. So don't you try and muscle in on his work. He'll be giving you a hard time when he comes back. A couple of minutes before we tick over another race hour. Race starting green flagged at 10 past the clock hour, if that makes sense, wherever you are around the world. Good to have you. WWOJ 99.1 at the circuits, Sirius 216, XM 392, and RS2 around the world, and streaming video for those of you who don't have network TV coverage on imsaradio.com, which is where you'll find our audio as well, and a whole load of IMSA content that you can download or you may listen on demand. GT Le Mans getting interesting. Matt Campbell has target acquired Jeremy with the BMW number 24 of Jonathan Edwards.
He's whittled away. That gap was about four seconds, maybe six, seven laps ago. So he's closing in on the tail of number 24 car has the 79 of Matty Campbell. And we've got all four of the cars that haven't had a problem in GTLM on the lead lap are now separated by, well, not much more than 20 seconds, actually. So it's a good battle that is continuing there. The number four car remains now two, maybe three laps behind the other four contenders. But this battle's going to go all the way, I think. And I don't think we've yet seen the best of the Porsche. It was very, very fast in practice. And I would be surprised if that wasn't challenging for the lead by the end of this race.
Jeremy Shaw's sentence finished as we go down to 7 hours still remaining. Trying to decide whether there's a tiny little bit of damage on the right rear of that BMW, but then when I see the left rear, I'm not sure there is. It's just the way the diffuser at the back is cut round the back of the rear wheels. BMW M Sport stripes never made any car look worse. It is one of those type of liveries. Works well on the dark and the light car. Oh, spin! And that's the 75 Sun Energy One right in front of that battle we were watching. And the Sun Energy One AMG number 75 has gone around with Kenny Abul at the wheel at that turn, the exit of turn six in towards turn seven. It's backed into the wall and it's not moving. Oh, what a shame. Running well inside the top 10. And Kenny trying to restart the engine. I can see the blue marker light behind the Mercedes trefoil grille. But it's going on and off. But I don't think he can get that engine fired up. And as we head into another hour of the race, are we going to start this sixth hour of the race with the re-emergence? Oh no, he's got it going. Spins up the rear. Michelin's waits for a moment, make sure he knows where he is, and then gives it a big bit of wheel speed to clean off the rear Michelin's. A well done race control there for letting that play out, because they could have easily went for the big yellow flag button. He just got onto the dirt on the exit of the hairpin at turn seven and looped it. It has hit the wall, but pretty flat. Straight on is when I say that. Straight on with the back of the car. There was a little bit of tyre rub, I think. Tell you what, there's not much damage there at all, Jeremy. That could have been a lot worse, particularly if he'd gone in on an angle. But I do think it's pushed the bodywork in a wee bit at the back. But if the diffuser's okay, turn 16. Ah, no, he's cracked the diffuser. Oh, and behind him, that's the
33
Sean Creech Motorsport car having a wee bit of a loop as well, and the Turner Motorsport Liquid Molly car. And there was another car off on the grass that had to avoid
seven.
It.
The LMP3 leader, I think that was Mr. McCusker there, who's off the road as well.
That was all at turn 16. So I wonder if there's something. I do think there's damage on the back of Kenny Abul's car. He's not coming to the pits as yet. But is it dropping something? Is it maybe dropping some oil? Or did he get caught out in somebody else's oil and everybody else did behind him? Because that was, two or three or four cars there, Jeremy, that had an issue at turn 16, Le Mans corner, heading onto the back straight.
Yeah, curious there. I'm not sure whether maybe Jan Klare was trying to get his lap back on McCusker. Could have been, because the number 33 car certainly is a lap down. So I don't know what happened there. It was kind of interesting. Although actually 33 was behind 74, so curious. So let's see what we can learn from a replay. 33 car spun on his own.
Fabulous avoidance by the MSR Acura, which is, you know, is fourth place car. Ollie Platt had to really tighten his line. And
I think, you know, I think the 33 car got ahead of the 7, and the 7 went off, the number 7 car went off in avoidance.
Yeah, I agree.
Of the spinning number 33.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, that was a weird one. Very weird one. But that, I mean, it's a quick track, Jeremy. Things happen fast. And, you know, you can't be driving around on a racetrack as you would on the road. You drive on the road thinking, you know, your favourite could be road. You drive it thinking there could be a tractor parked in the middle of the road at every blind corner you come round. You can't do that on a racetrack. You've got to commit, even though you can't see the exit. And you've got to absolutely commit to that corner to take as much corner speed through the middle of the turn as you can. And then when something does block the exit, you've got to react very quickly indeed.
Yeah, you have. You're absolutely right. And, you know, you're always on the limit, are you not? So it's very easy to make a mistake. And it's a slippery corner at the best of times, that sort of sequence of S's there right before what would be the WEC pit lane these days, or the support races for IMSA. And the good news is I don't think there's any contact between anybody, so everybody involved did a really good job to keep it clean-ish.
If I speak without turning my mic on, then it's not going to work, is it? At IMSA Radio is where you can get in touch with us. Thank you for all the kind comments about what we're doing at the moment. Live, free, no blocks, no breaks on the audio, of course, as ever. Always good to have you here.
That spin, by the way, for number seven, well, it wasn't really a spin, but the off-course excursion there for number seven car means that it's Mateo Lorena now, the young Guatemalan, who's driving the Performance Tech Motorsports car number 38. That was the car we saw, I think, have a spin a little while ago. I'm not sure whether that was just after Lorena took the wheel of that car or whether it was while Dan Goldberg was driving. I can't remember, to be honest. But that car is up into second place now, and it's within 20 seconds of the race lead. Similar margin, a little bit less than that back in position, is Scott Andrews, who is driving the car that won the LMP3 category at Daytona. That's the Riley Motorsports car number 74 in third position. And those three cars now are on the lead lap in LMP3. Number 33 car with that spin is now one lap down again.
Get the feeling that this pace is starting to take its toll, perhaps. We're ahead again of the distance record pace, having had just over an hour and 17 minutes since we waved goodbye to the C8 safety car. And significantly, Mike Conway is now ahead of Kamui Kobayashi. Now, which one is catching which one? Has Conway just got a lap back? Yeah, he has. And into the pits comes Kobayashi. So that is still the fight back continues in the drive back for Whelen Engineering in the 31 Cadillac. As into the pits comes the race leader on the pit stop cycle. Ally Cadillac comes to its halt, where Shea Adam will describe its service.
It will be fuel, tires, and a driver change for this car, as Jimmy Johnson going back in once again. He was just short of the minimum drive time, so we knew that we would be seeing his helmet behind the wheel of this pink, purple, and white machine once again. Fuel and tires, as that was the completion of a 20-lap stint for Kamui before jumping out of the car. They're definitely going to be saving their powder for the end of this one. That was a windshield tear-off. Yay! First one we've seen of the day. The tire change is done. Fuel nozzle is detached. Thank you, Tim. I'm going to keep looking at that note and keep citing you for that every time. And away it goes. Further down the pit lane, also, I believe that is the 99 Porsche from Team Hardpoint Medium. Has not been a great day for them. They are currently scored as 27 laps behind the next in class. And I didn't see a whole lot of work going on to it. So either that car was coming out from behind the wall, or they just aren't really in much of a hurry to try and get work done.
Good question. Yeah. Cadillac rumbles back up to pace. So Renger van der Zander will go through in a second or two in the 0-1. He's just coming onto the back straight now. So that effectively, with that pit stop, Jeremy, that does give put Bourdais back on the lead lap, and Mike Conway now just two laps off the lead lap. Is that right with that pit stop from the 48 Cadillac?
Yeah, that's right. At least for a while. Yet the number 31 car will be in for number 5, but it's still quite a long while yet. They're only about halfway through the stint for number 31 car. So a full course caution, at any stage, would be kind of good for them. So this is the 17th lead change for the race, as the number one car of Renger van der Zander goes back into the lead. It's the first time that car has actually led since lap 85, and that's the result of that brilliant pass after the pit stops by Renger van der Zander on Oliver Jarvis, and he's actually pulled out about 8 seconds over the Mazda in the last six, seven laps since on pit lane. So about a second a lap, he was extending that advantage, and now Renger van der Zander then back in the lead of this race, and that was another interesting to me that number 48 car is running just 20 lap stints for the most part. It's and sometimes and normally less than that. In actual at least the good news is the last two stints have both been 20 laps. But yeah. Before that, John, we saw an 18 lap stint and a 16 lap stint for that car. Not quite sure why that was. It seems to be back on schedule right now.
No reasoning offered up by the team, I should say, either for that. We speculated that they might have had a fuel pickup problem that was getting worse. That was discounted from the team when the question was put to them. I know that all of the PRs are listening up and down the pit lane as well, and therefore if we do speculate a little bit once in a while, it's often as much to quickly ask a question that can be then answered by our communications between us and the PR groups, as it is to just air our thoughts. Other battles going on in other classes. Sorry, Jeremy, go ahead.
Yeah, number 5 car, it is a lap down, by the way, still. And it's now coming into the pits again, which is definitely early. That car was last in on lap 140. It's now lap 152 for that car. And I think he's back on pit lane. He's showing that way on the scoring. Yes, it is.
Right. As you say, Jeremy, that one is well short. And that, my body did 21 laps in the previous tip, but only, 12 there? He's barely been out.
Yeah.
And his lap times were all right.
Yeah.
Right, well. That is the Mustang sampling JDC Miller. She already trying to get in touch with the team.
Tapping away at my
pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. I hear the cogs turning as well. So, Jimmy Johnson back in the number 48 Cadillac. Is this the first time he's been in that car since the stint where he had the accident, which was the first time he'd been in the car since the accident in...
stint when he'd had the accident,
yeah.
Yes, it is.
All right, okay. Did 27 laps at the start of the race, Jimmy, and he's not been in since then. So got out of the car at... 4 minutes past 11. Is that about right?
PJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the car for an hour and 22 minutes.
Right. Okay.
Oh, sorry, excuse me, wrong one. 54 minutes. Basically.
Yeah.
That's Jay said he was 6 minutes short of the minimum drive time.
Yeah. Super. So, yeah, so that was about 11:05 local time when he got out. Back in now. At 20 past 3 in the afternoon. My watch refuses to remember that the clocks have gone forwards in the US, despite it being a radio controlled watch, if you see what I mean. By that I don't mean it's whizzing around the room, you know what I mean, it takes a time signal, so I've got to keep remembering to put an hour onto it. Ollie Jarvis 3 seconds behind Renger van der Zander. Yeah. Traffic playing its part, Jeremy.
Yeah, indeed, because that gap had gone out to about 8 seconds from first to second. It's now halved. It's down to, well, it was 3, it's now 4. So as Jarvis indeed has that trouble. Just got a note back from Larry Holt, said the car's not great at the moment, but they're hoping that it's going to be better at night time. Once the sun goes down and the temperature comes down a bit more, even from where it is now, that it'll maybe come to that Mazda's favour. But he certainly, you know, he's turning laps right now. Last time was a 48.1 for Oliver Jarvis. Olivier Pla behind him was a 47.3 in number 60 mile Shank Racing Acura. The leader, of course, had traffic on that last lap, so he's not representative.
Wherever you're tuning in from, whether you're at the track, further afield, good to have your company on IMSA Radio. So many people listening while they're moving around on Sirius 216 and XM 392. And of course, around the world on RS2, part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels. Keep the tweets coming in at IMSA Radio, let us know where you are. 55 Mazda. Ollie Jarvis settling into his work now. Gap's gone back out to nearly 7 seconds as he hits the traffic that Van Zander had to negotiate earlier on in the 0-1 Chip Ganassi Cadillac. It's the two light coloured cars, isn't it, at the front of the field that we've been keeping an eye on. Battle still with Matt Campbell and John Edwards for BMW, or for WeatherTech Porsche with BMW. That's third and second in GT Le Mans. And also, as you might assume, in GT Le Mans, GT Daytona, excuse me, where the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini, Madison Snow, is catching Catherine Legg. Catherine battling for the championship against Paul Miller Racing, what, a couple of seasons ago now. So there's a bit of history there. Lost out to Madison Snow and Brian Sellers. She was in the NSX then, of course, wasn't she? Now with the Porsche of Team Hardpoint EBM. That's sixth and seventh position. And Snow right with the Porsche now, as they are battling away, trying to find them on the circuit actually at the moment.
14.
Thank you. Oh yes, there we are. Right in front of them at the moment, the fourth place United Autosport LMP2 car, Wayne Boyd, he's just gone by. So that battle is now on the back straight, and Madison Snow sitting right in behind the Porsche. May be able to get the draft down the back straight.
From the Mazda camp, they're having radio issues as well on that car, which is not helping them, and the data beacon isn't working either. Other than that, says Larry Holt, it's mint. Good for him. keep up the optimistic tone. He also says that they won't let me hang out my pit board that I bought in 1983. Well, hey, Larry, if you're listening to us, I am using the clipboard that I made in 19... Wait a minute, I won't tell you when that was. It was a long time before 1983, though, I can tell you.
Yeah, but you're not hanging it out over the pit wall where people are going past at 100 and plenty miles an hour either, mate. Because trust me, that would turn any of the prototypes into a cabriolet if that went through there. My goodness me. It's like a guillotine blade, that. I'm surprised they let you take it on an aircraft. It's a lethal weapon, that. It's like Odd Job's hat brim from the Bond movies.
Yeah.
You made that in metalwork, didn't you?
I'm changing the subject here. Great lap from Ranga van der Zander, 146.151, which is identical to the lap time that was turned earlier on by number 31 car, 146.151. So it equals the lap record.
Oh, wow.
If it was qualifying, then number 31 car would have the advantage because it said first. But I think it's just a lap record. I'm going to say that's a shared lap record.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, 146.151. And we've been talking about this for a wee while. And by the way, after that spin from Kenny Abul in the 75 Sun Energy 1, the chrome green and flame 75 car, he did get back that car back the pits. He did a couple of laps and came back in. I think I saw Mauro Engel's name against that for the first time in this race. And that car is running again. That, as I say, the chrome green Sun Energy one, back down at the scene of the crime, actually, now. We've been seeing this, Jeremy, but the lap times are extraordinary. The pace that has been set. The previous lap record, we were pretty impressed with these DPIs. And in motor racing terms, it's been soundly thrashed here in the, you know, the first 5 hours of the race.
Yeah, it certainly has. And we didn't get we lost the end of last year, or the first race last year, 47.6, which was a couple of tenths away from the old lap record that was set in 2019. The fastest lap in the 2012 hours here in November, I'll have to look that one up, but it was slower than that, certainly. It was the fastest lap in the 12 hours was a 47.7. That was actually set by Ricky Taylor. So, you know, significantly quicker than that. That was a 47.7. We've now done a 46.1 here this afternoon.
It's Jeremy Shaw. He's alongside me. Virtually, at least, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, social distancing applying. Shea Adam keeping us up to date with all the news from the pit and paddock as our VP Racing Field pit and paddock reporter. And the pass was made, sorry if you mentioned that, Jeremy, but I was talking about the battle that was heating up between Madison Snow and Catherine Legg. Madison has gone through and pulled out about a second. No, that's not right, is it? Or is my... The timing hasn't updated, has it not?
Correct. Sure. Madison right. Did go through and there was no damage between the two cars.
No, excellent. Well done. Very professional pair of them.
I do have an update on the sister car, though, from Hardpoint Team EBM. That is officially listed as a retirement now at this point. Yeah. So the 99 Porsche is out, the 28 Mercedes is out, and there might be some extensive damage to that car. The team is having a look at it right now, involving future participation. The 19 Grasser Lamborghini is out, and we are still showing the number 11 from Wynn Autosport as in the pit lane, as this time around, Catherine Legg does dive into the pits. She should be staying aboard because Christina Nielsen is taking over from her, and Christina Nielsen was just texting me, so I don't think she's quite ready yet.
Jeremy, with a note on the number 14 Lexus RCF GT3.
Yeah, indeed. That car was run up front all the way through the early stints of the race. They've had a few little niggles, though. They had a problem when they changed the brakes during the caution period, what was an hour and a half or so ago, and then they had to make a tweak after that. After that, the hood came loose, so they had to stop again to refasten it, and that amounted to an emergency stop, so they got a penalty after that. That is why number 14 car is kind of languishing a little bit at the moment in the eighth position in the class, and it is, though, I think, still on the lead lap. No, it's not, is it? It's a lap off the pace in GTD at the moment. So they've got some work to do to make up that lost ground. That's number 14 car. Aaron Tielitz currently at the wheel of that Vassar Sullivan Lexus.
In the pit lane for John Edwards in the Rahal Lanigan BMW. So for a moment, taken out of that fascinating fight in GT Le Mans. So we have Corvette now with a 31-second lead back to Matt Campbell for the WeatherTech Porsche. course, there's pit stops to make for those cars as well. Van der Zander, 47.6 last time around, 47.9 for Oliver Jarvis, just holding around about 10 seconds, 14 seconds on Ollie Platt for MSR with Kerb Agajanian, the number 60 Acura. So once again, three different manufacturers in the top three. John Edwards stayed aboard the BMW of Team RLL, the 24 car, the darker of the two cars. He's back out on the track already. Half an hour to go to half distance, Jeremy. Doesn't time fly when you're enjoying yourself?
Oh, yeah, it certainly does. That's incredible. It's Rega van der Zander who still has got pretty much a stranglehold in this race. He's extended that lead now out to almost 10 seconds over Oliver Jarvis in the Mazda. But I was just looking. Oh, Mike Conway has just brought number 31 car into the pits for a scheduled stop. That car had been briefly just two laps down again, but now with this pit stop, it'll go three laps down. Then it'll gain that lap back while the other leaders come onto the pit lane in a little while. The number 01 car is now got 16 laps into its stint, so another five laps or so we can expect to see the race leading car onto the pit lane.
Shea Adam has an update on the number 99. Rumours of its demise may have been somewhat premature for Porsche.
The official Porsche Twitter account sent out a message saying that the 99 has been retired, and yet it's going around on the racetrack, so that's a little bit confusing. But in any case, we have another Porsche pit stop, so we'll get to the bottom of that situation in a few minutes' time. But Matt Campbell bringing in that 79 WeatherTech Racing Porsche, he should be getting out because he has done a triple stint behind the wheel. Jam did a double before him, and Cooper McNeil owes us 1 minute and 24 seconds before he has officially met minimum drive time. So I would expect to see Cooper back behind the wheel of that car early in the race, and then you can hand it over to Jam and Matty to take it to the checker.
Performance Tech have been pinged in the pit lane, 3 kilometres over. That'll be a drive through for the number 38. And that is not good news at any time. Certainly not good news when you're battling in the top four of a tight LMP3 timing screen battle. Still half the race to go, though. So thanks to Tim Gray, who is stepping aside over in our London control room, and we'll welcome Kerry Cobb. Hi, Kez, producing and making sure that we're talking to the world, which is great. Nice to have Kez back as well. Into the pit lane for that penalty. Here comes the red, white, and black Performance Tech machine.
Yeah, that is Matteo Lorena serving the penalty. Now, we don't know if it was his fault for taking it back out 3 kilometers too fast, or if it was his fault bringing it in for 3 kilometers too fast, but we do know it was his fault. And there is a bit of damage to the left rear of that prototype as well, so perhaps not all great in a Performance Tech world, but we know that the car has been very quick today, and Lorena certainly will be their nominee to try and bring it back up to speed quickly. And it also helps that Austin McCusker followed him into the pit lane, but McCusker in that 47 Motorsport Duquesne, number 7, needs to stay in the pit lane for a little bit longer because Austin has now completed a triple stint. Oliver Askew has completed a triple stint. That, by my calculations, says it's time for Stephen McAleer.
Oh, yeah. Drafted in to that team at short notice. And you're absolutely spot on, by the way, about the number 38 damage down the left-hand side of that car, just in front, I think, of the rear wheels. It might just be a little bit of the wrap around the side pod of the car that's peeling away. Oh, you see, now I say that now, and it looks possibly a little more substantial damage than that. That might have actually punched a hole in the side pod there. So that aerodynamically is going to be interesting, shall we say. Let's hope there's no components in there that can fall foul of the air blowing through it, because at the speeds we're talking about around here, that will be getting pressurised there in front of the rear wheel. Leading GT Le Mans car in the pits, brought in by Antonio Garcia.
And that looked to me like a driver change going on for that pit stop, namely because the driver change assistant was out over the wall. Fuel and tires for that car. Now, Nick Katzberg has not yet driven in the race, so perhaps Nicky's gone, you know what, guys, can I have a go, please? Can I have a turn? And they finally said, all right, Nicky, fine. You know, will that get you to be quiet for a little bit? So, yeah, let's see if that's indeed his name next to that car. By the way, it is Stephen McAleer who has taken over the number 7 and the Corvette, the red accented silver Corvette, off the wheel stands and away and rolling. And it's still showing as Antonio Garcia, yeah. But I definitely saw a helmet plug going on there. Let me text Ryan Smith and find out.
Half the race nearly done, and one of the drivers not been in that car yet. Stephen McAleer does go out. Catherine Legg did continue in the number 88 Porsche and has just set that car's best lap of the race. We're talking about the number 88 Hardpoint EPM Porsche. That pit stop, she dropped down to 8th position, which is only 7 seconds behind Aaron Tielitz, and lapped a full second quicker than the Vasser Sullivan, $5 in the jar, Lexus RCF GT3, which does have the fastest GT Daytona lap of the race. Acura in the pit lane is the number 60 of Ollie Plasch. Here, Adam.
Fuel, tires, and a bit of a windshield clean for Olivier Plaub, but he is staying aboard for a second stint. And by the way, no driver change for Antonio Garcia, so they are still keeping Nick Katzberg fresh and not letting him play in the race quite yet. It will be beyond halfway before Nick Katzberg gets in for his first stint.
Six and a half hours still to go. Sights and sounds of Sebring being broadcast across the world in sound and vision, imsaradio.com. BMW all the way almost to the support pit wall is the number 25, currently driven by Philip Eng. Second place, only 3.5 seconds away from the Garcia Corvette that leads. That Corvette, shame that we lost the number 4 with that issue with the misfire in the coil pack earlier on, Jeremy, because that's C8R, certainly the number 3. Well, it has, that one at least has at the moment all three of the Holy Trinity: reliability, speed and economy. And you normally don't get all of those, any two normally.
Yeah, that's true. It does seem to be able to go a little bit longer than all of the other contenders in GTL, at least at the moment. It's top for number 23, Aston Martin, out of second position with the pit stop sequence now well underway.
Yeah, the GTDs, there's one or two cars in the GTD that are well off sequence with the others. Trent Hindman, in the Wright Motorsports Porsche, has been out there for 10 laps now as other people are just starting to come in. The Pfaff Motorsport car's got probably another 4 laps or so to do. Aston in after 28 laps, so that's round about right, 27, 28, 29 maybe for the GTs Daytonas. Catherine Legg's been out there for 4 laps. Mauro Engel for the Sud Energy 1 Mercedes AMG after just a 14 lap stint for Kenny Abul. But I think Kenny has probably done his time in that car with that stint. Mauro on his 13th
lap. Kenny has done 3 stints. I think he might be close on time. I need to check at the bottom of the next hour, to be honest.
Okay. And he has to do 3 hours, doesn't he?
3 hours, correct.
Yeah. A full stint is an hour, and he's done. Well, he did 40 laps there behind the safety car, then another 14 He's going to, as you see, he's going to be close. I'll look that up in a moment while you tell me what's happening with Alexander Rossi, who's back in the pit lane here.
It is another pit stop for Alexander Rossi and another time where he should be left behind the wheel because this is his second trip down the pit lane, if you will, and each of the drivers needing to do a triple stint before Wayne Taylor will let them out of the car and give them a little bit of a break. Fuel and tires going on to the Acura as they're staggering their stops. I do love to see all the different strategies of doing their pit stops. Do you do the lefts first and then the rights? Do you do the left front, right rear, and then the right rear, left front? Or left rear, right front. Yeah, you know what I meant. But they are doing the staggered stop where it is diagonal, waiting on fuel for Alexander Rossi, and then he'll go back out for what should be the third of his triple stint, and then they'll let him out of the car.
Unofficially... And it is unofficially 3 hours and 11 minutes for Kenny in the Sun Energy machine. He did that very, very long stint here, if you remember, when we had a yellow flag. He just got into the car at that point. So he did 28 laps at the beginning. And then he did 8 laps and 32 laps and 14 laps. All of which had elements of yellow flag, I believe, in it. As I say, that is unofficial, but it would look to me as if they might have cracked the time for Kenny. 0-1 in the pit lane. In fact, both the leaders in the pit lane. Ollie Jarvis for Mazda and Cadillac Chip Ganassi the 0-1. So once again, it's the battle of the pit crew here.
And it was a failed attempt to remove a windshield tear-off for Renger van de Zanden in the 0-1 Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing. Pulled the windshield tear-off up, and then the wiper smacked it back down again. So that might mean that there are bubbles in front of Renger for this stint. That would distort his vision. But he wasn't able to actually spend the additional time in the box to get that cleared away as the Mazda leaves well far behind Renger this time. Last time they left the pit lane, it was Mazda just ahead of Renger. This time, Ollie Jarvis has a bit of ground to try and make up as he did stay aboard the 55 Mazda and actually almost had the 74 Spencer Pigot behind the wheel of that LMP3 machine for the first time today. There was very nearly a coming together between those two as they were joining the fast lane.
Thanks, Shep. Now have another change of lead then. Great, Jeremy, that, I mean, there's always a bit of a worry when you've got single digits in the top class. You started with 7 cars, they're all in positions 1-7, albeit with Mike Conway driven down Cadillac, the number 31, a couple of laps off the lead. But really, really and truly, 6 of those 7, and you probably say with half the race still to go, probably all 7 of them are still in with a shout there, because getting a lap back, if the safety car comes out at the right time for the 31, is not beyond the bounds of possibility.
Certainly isn't, no. I mean, yeah, we're not even halfway through this race. So if you can lose 2 or 3 or 4 laps in the first half, you can certainly make them up again in the second half if you play the cards right and if the luck falls your way. But what was interesting to me during that last stint, they're both 22 laps for each of the two leaders there, number 01 and number 55. But the number 01 car pulled out nearly 14 seconds during that stint over number 55. They'd made the pass, Renger van de Zanden made the pass as they rejoined after the last pit stop. They came in 14 seconds between the two of them. So that was a pretty big gainer there for the 01 car of Renger van de Zanden. I think he might actually be able to retain the lead now, because Jimmy Johnson is driving the number 48 car, and I think the he's made a pit stop and has not lost the lead.
Oh, that's a significant
first time that's happened during this race.
Yes, correct. That's a significant part of a point in the race, isn't it? We look for little things like that. Was that a 22 lap stint for van der Zander? Yeah.
Both that and the Mazda.
Right, that's interesting. Jimmy's due in about another 4 laps time. And he he hasn't had the best of traffic recently, or in the middle part of his stint, should I say. But that is a significant moment in the race where Van der Zander and the Chip Ganassi 01 Cadillac have made their eighth pit stop without losing the lead to the Ally Cadillac. Now, that's also been down the pit lane, it has. But remember, one of those was to replace the nose cone on that car. And so that's what put them off. So they've not had eight full pit stops. And that's why that is significant that Jeremy mentioned it. Significant enough that Jeremy mentions it now. And, of course, what will happen is that the Ally car will drop back when it makes what is its next pit stop, the ninth. It's kind of its eight and a half at the moment, really. And that is a couple of three laps away at the moment. Sebastian Bourdais has got about another four or five laps as well. Just looking. That's in the number five Mustang sampling machine. Just going through turn three at the moment. And just looking at the flags there by the what will become the illuminated palm trees on the entrance to turn three. The flags are absolutely at right angles from their flagpoles, from their flagstaffs at the moment around the circuit. Wind picking up. There was a forecast of gathering clouds into the later evening hours. With the time coming up on 4 p.m. Eastern. Straight across the pit straight. So that means onto the nose of the car for turn seven. Onto the tail of the car into 16 maybe. Crosswinds in other places, that's going to make life a little bit difficult. All of these cars have a decent degree of aero capability, even the GT Daytonas. They're not obviously as aero dependent as the prototypes, but they don't have all of those wings and flicks and underbody accoutrement just for fun. Aston Martin number 23 having a look at the 12 Lexus in GT Daytona going into turn one. It's hardly a lift, you know, for turn one now. It's not a massive big break and down couple of gears, even for the GT Daytonas. That's the battle for fourth and fifth. McGuinness and Gunn behind the wheel. Ross Gunn, Aston Martin Works driver, loaned out to Heart of Racing team. No Aston Martin Works GT team now that they've moved into Formula One. As the Mercedes Junior team, effectively. And Gunn now looking very carefully at the back of that Lexus ahead of him. Heading through the kink at 9 and into the braking area at turn 10. He closes up under the brakes, not taking too much curb on the right-hand side. Can clearly see the Bayshore decal on the back of that number 12 Lexus ahead of him. And even in the slightly darkening skies, that Lexus stands out with that highlighter yellow colour. There goes the 01 Cadillac past that battle. Now into turn 16. Trying to be on Benz first, so the wind right behind them now. They go off the track to the left-hand side before cutting across to turn 16, and now they're on the back straight. What sort of run does Ross get here? He'll get the advantage of the draft and also going through the GT Le Mans leading Corvette on his right-hand side into turn 17. He's not quite there, but he's tightened his line. Tries to get up the inside to the apex. Oh, on the power, nice and early through there. Diamond's off the corner, but has to go all the way to the wall. Really nip and tuck, Jeremy. And I know people hate performance balancing, but you've got to say, two very different concept cars there with an RCF Lexus, very upright, quite tall, big frontal area, and then the more svelte Aston Martin V8 Vantage sitting in behind it. And those cars, slight differences in their performance around the lap, but really interesting to see. that full lap from Ross's perspective there.
Yeah, that was cool, wasn't it? I completely agree with you there. Really good to watch. And that battle for the fourth position in GTD. The number nine car made a pit stop just a couple of laps ago. The Faf Porsche, Lars Kern, now at the wheel of that car. He just dropped to second place. So it's the Porsche 1-2 at the moment, Trent Hindman.
Side by side, Jeremy. Sorry, that battle. And Ross Kern has got it done. Got a little bit better drive coming out of the hairpin at turn 7. He's going to have to try and hold off that Lexus as they come into turn 10. But I think, yeah, he's now established himself. And in rowing terms, he had a bit of clear blue water and was able to take the line. He's now made that position up. Sorry, Jeremy. Go ahead.
So Trent Hindman leads the class now in car number 16 by about 10 seconds over Lars Kern. So Porsche 1-2 in GTD. Madison Snow is a fair way back in third position. I think he's about 25 seconds back. Yeah, a bit less than that. 23 seconds back in the third place. 23 seconds behind the number 9 car as he crosses the line in third place to complete his 155th lap. And then that battle that we were just watching between Robert McGuinness and Ross Gunn. Not that the other way around.
Jimmy Johnson into the pit lane. And did he get out of the car during that stop out of that 48 Cadillac shift?
Service is still ongoing, so we're going to have to wait and see. They were going to do 4 new tires. I did notice that they were up on the wall. But this is an interesting moment because Jimmy Johnson has fulfilled the minimum drive time for the pro categories, if you will, for DPI or GTLM, 1 hour minimum for both of those. He only needed one more stint to reach that point, and then Simon Pagenaud would be eligible to take back over from car. Well, Kamui Kobayashi could too. Simon had done 4 stints before Kamui Kobayashi got in and did 2. So this would be Jimmy's third stint. Let's see if he goes back out on track for a fourth. Just waiting for the pit exit to be triggered. I'll let you know when it is.
Okay. This is the number 48, of course. We're talking about the Allied Cadillac Racing. He's done an hour and 35 Pagenaud. Minutes. Yeah, he's done an hour and 35 minutes, JJ. So well over what he needs to do. But he's not there to make up the numbers, Jeremy, is he? He's there to race, and I would expect him to do some more driving.
I'd be surprised if he didn't, certainly. I mean, he had good, maybe another stint at some stage. Why not? It depends where they are in contention. He isn't quite as quick as the other two, for sure. But before his incident yesterday in qualifying, he was down to just about 1.2 seconds, I think, he qualified off the pole position. He found over 2 seconds from the previous practice. So big strides for Jimmy there. And, that car is fast. We've seen it all the way through the day. It's been one of the quickest cars on track. And, I'd be surprised if he didn't get back in again. He's certainly quick enough to be able to hold his own. And there's still a long, long way to go in this race. Again, still we're not at the halfway point. So I'd be very surprised if he decided to sit out the rest of it.
We are coming up to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You're listening to IMSA Radio with live coverage of the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring presented by Advanced Auto Parts. Let's give you a quick rundown for this Mazda in-race update. Renger van der Zander by nearly 20 seconds now. Cadillac, Chip Ganassi, the light grey 01 ahead of the white Mazda Motorsports at number 55 of Ollie Jarvis, and another 11 seconds further back is Ollie Plark. Class leaders in the other categories, LMP2, Scott Huffaker is behind the wheel of the PR1 Matheson Motorsport Orica number 52 that leads LMP2 in 8th position overall. He's got a decent lead, about a minute and 40 seconds over the rest of the field. Tonio Garcia, the Spanish driver behind the wheel of the Corvette C8R, that's the number 3 car with the red accents. He's got all of 1.9 seconds over the best of the BMWs, Philippe Eng in the bright red BMW M8 GT in second place in GT Le Mans. LMP3, Spencer Pigott now driving the Riley Motorsport Ligier with about 40 seconds on Stephen McAleer, drafted in very, very late notice at the 47 Motorsports Duquesne in second position, the 7. And he's got another 40 seconds on third for the Sean Creech Motorsport, number 33. In GT Daytona, Trent Hindman for Wright Motorsports Porsche leads the similar machine but from a different team, Pfaff Motorsports. So it's 16 Porsche, that's the plaid coloured side panels on that car, and the 9 Lars Kern is the plaid coloured car, sorry, and the 16 is the light blue with gloss black on that leading car. Now Brian Sellers is just going back out in the Lamborghini, so that means the Aston Martin Racing Vantage number 23, the Hunter Racing team, will be, for the moment at least, elevated into the top three. Sirius 216, XM 392, FM around the circuit on WWOJ 99.1 and around the world on RS2. This is IMSA Radio.
Yes! Oh, yes!
IMSA Radio, your route to American sports car racing.